Well, it's known as the Banking Royal Commission, but the current investigation into the financial system has superannuation in its brief as well. And starting today, for the next 2 weeks, Australia's $2.6 trillion super sector will be in the spotlight. The Commission's expected to focus on the fees charged to customers, you and me, and the often cosy relationship between the funds and their fund managers, which are often part of the same corporate group. Michael Yander is our regular Monday finance commentator. Hello, Michael.
Morning, Fran.
So what can we expect to hear, do you think, over the next couple of weeks from the Commission?
Well, the focus really is going to be on the issue of fees and this conflict of interest within the structure of the superannuation sector. It's a very important topic because while about a third of Australian adults have mortgages, most adults have super. Pretty much anyone who's worked over the last 30-odd years has a super fund, and it's the largest pool of savings for many people who don't own their own homes. There's more than $2.5 trillion in assets under management in the super sector, which is a massive amount of money, and the focus is really on who's managing these funds and who, therefore, is collecting the fees on them. And that's important because one academic, Mike Rafferty from RMIT, who's been studying superannuation for a very long time, estimates that Australians are paying about $12 billion more than they should have due to excessive fees and underperformance in superannuation. Underperformance being because many banks and other super funds use their own fund managers to collect the fees, even if those fund managers aren't achieving the best performance for their members.
So that's $12 billion every year. And there's a disparity, isn't there, between the fees charged across the superannuation sector. Most of us probably aren't really aware of what fees were charged.
Fees and also insurance, Fran. So, it comes down to, you know, industry super consistently advertise on the fact that because they return their funds to members rather than any profits to shareholders, their costs are lower. And certainly super ratings, Chant West and other institutions that monitor superannuation fund performance bear that out, that the performance in the industry sector has been better. But interestingly, they're also up on the Royal Commission stand. Of course, that was a push from many members of the coalition government to focus on some of the trade union links in the governance structures of industry super funds, which also, of course, have employers on their boards. And as the ABC Stephen Long exposed in a series of articles over the past couple of months, there are some questions not only about industry super funds' relationship with trade unions, but even some industry super funds' relationship with their own private fund managers and whether some of that's too cozy in terms of interrelationships within the financial sector. Now, I will be live blogging the Commission this week and next, so people can follow that on the Business News website.
Fantastic. And the Banking Royal Commission has been underway since early this year. The Productivity Commission, too, has been looking at competition in the sector more broadly. We've spoken to them earlier in the year, but these two inquiries could be a little at odds.
Yeah, so some of the recommendations from the Productivity Commission, the report came out last week, the final report, some of them will match a ban on trailing commissions for mortgage brokers. I wouldn't be surprised if Kenneth Hayne also recommends something similar to that.
Mortgage brokers got a drubbing by the Productivity Commission.
That's right. And Kenneth Hayne actually might go a lot further. He may recommend that commissions be banned altogether, including upfront payments, which can conflict with the interests of customers. There's also this thing about appointing a principal integrity officer at the banks. Who knows, the Royal Commission may recommend something along those lines. But there is an inherent tension between competition and financial stability, Fran. The Productivity Commission, by its nature, has erred on the side of competition. In particular, when talking about things like risk weights, which are how much in reserve banks have to hold to offset against potentially bad loans and loan losses, the Productivity Commission basically criticised the bank regulator for increasing those for the major banks, saying that that's increased cost to customers and hasn't done a whole lot to competition. But on the other hand, I think you'd find the Banking Royal Commission would find that, you know, home lending standards have probably still been a bit looser than they should have been and need to be tightened further. And this is going to be an interesting conflict to see which way the regulators jump.
Security, stability versus competition. Still on banking, Australia's biggest lender, the Commonwealth Bank, is reporting its annual results this week. What do we expect?
So we're expecting a profit somewhere just north of $9 billion on an underlying basis. It sounds great, but it's actually down from $9.7 billion last year. So analysts are not expecting the CBA to break the $10 billion barrier this financial year at least. There's a few big one-off costs as well, not least of which was that $700 million money laundering fine, which has to be accounted for. Interestingly, AMP is also out with its half-year result on Wednesday. It's also already come out with a profit warning, lowering its guidance from $533 million profit last half year to about somewhere between $489 and $500 million this year. And that includes, of course, all these compensation costs and legal costs that AMP is now incurring. And to cap it all off this week, Suncorp, the regional bank and insurer, is out on Thursday with its full year results, a $1 billion profit expected there. And you can catch interviews with the key chief executives on the business on ABC TV this week.
Okay. And it's not just the private banks in the spotlight this week. The Reserve Bank of Australia is also out and about. What are we people expecting or hoping to hear from the central bankers?
Okay, so we've got the Reserve Bank meeting on Tuesday. Everyone thinks nothing will happen. And
in terms of raising rates?
Yep, raising or lowering, nothing. Rates will stay unchanged, we know that. The Anika Foundation, though, is holding its annual luncheon in Sydney later in the week, and Philip Lowe is the keynote speaker. He's speaking about demographic change.
He's the governor of the Reserve Bank.
Governor of the Reserve Bank, speaking about demographic change and recent monetary policy to a room full of economists. There's usually something interesting that comes out of this speech. And on Friday, we get another set of tea leaves from the Reserve Bank, which is the quarterly statement on monetary policy, which tells us what it's doing.
Okay, just briefly overseas, at the end of last week, China's response to the latest US tariffs came out. What's that? The effect of that likely to be on the global economy, Michael?
Look, economists aren't too worried just yet, Fran. For those who hadn't caught up with it, China's proposing $60 billion worth of American imports into China, tariffs on those. That's in retaliation to Donald Trump's latest $200 billion tariff on Chinese imports into America, which are likely to come into effect next month. For the time being, though, a falling yuan, the Chinese currency, is actually offsetting pretty much all of the tariff impact. Since Donald Trump implemented the first round of tariffs, the yuan has fallen 7.4% against the US dollar, and that's pretty much wiping out all the trade impact from these increased taxes on Chinese imports into America.
It's more than one way. And just briefly, how are our financial markets poised to start the week?
Well, look, the US markets shrugged off the Chinese retaliation on Friday. The Dow Jones and the S&P 500 both up 0.5%. The S&P 200, the SPY 200 futures in Australia look set to follow, 0.3% higher at 6,204. The Aussie dollar also pretty steady, just under 74 US cents at the moment.
And Michael, if people want to follow your live blogging of the Royal Commission, where do they go?
So you can go to abc.net.au/news/business, and it'll be there all week and next week.
Hugely popular, I'd imagine too. Michael, thank you. Michael Yander, the ABC Senior Business Digital Business Reporter and our regular Monday Finance commentator.